Good morning, everyone. I pray that you will have a wonderful time in His presence. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Why don't you say hello to your neighbor or your imaginary neighbor, say hello. And we got to be intentional about staying connected. We got to be intentional about loving people. We got to be intentional about, having fellowship in these critical times. We can't be disconnected. We can't be disengaged. We cannot afford to be disconnected. We have to be connected. Amen? This world is very disconnected. I mean, it was disconnected before. Now it's even more disconnected. It was, because of social media, because people have been really busy and they've been, when you jump on the train or when you jump on the plane and you're flying somewhere, you can see that people, they just mind their own business. And so people have been used to being disconnected and not, talking or having that connection with someone sitting next to them. And it's been considered weird or awkward. And now with this social distance world, hello, it's even more awkward. So as the body of Christ, we need to make a difference. Amen. We got to break the ice. We got to be connected. We got to teach people, and we got to model what Jesus taught us. Amen? We got to model it every single day, because it's going to be a temptation to fall under the same system, and we can't do that. We got to model something different. Amen? So Rebecca and I are very happy to be part of New Hope, and to come back and see so many wonderful families and familiar faces. It's so good to be back here, isn't it? So good to be back in this house, in the house of the Lord, and to connect with you all. And I believe in this new season, as the Lord leads us, we're so blessed and privileged to serve God at New Hope in this capacity. So we are here to help you, to build a kingdom, to empower you, and whatever we can do for you, let us know. Rebecca and I just celebrated our 9th anniversary last Friday, so it's been really good. We have 2 girls. One is Carielle, who is she's going to be 7 in July coming up, and Celeste, who is already 2, and they're in the back with the other kids. So we love what God is doing in our church. We love what God is doing in our city. We love what God is doing in Australia and in the nations, and we have to embrace what God is doing in our world, amen, in our reality. So one of the things that Jesus taught multiple times, and he actually used the word kingdom hundreds of times. And the reason he used the word kingdom is because he was very intentional to teach his disciples about his kingdom. That he was from a kingdom not of this world. That even though he was in this world, he was not of this world. And he was very intentional to let his disciples know from day one, from the get-go, that they were different. That they were children of another kingdom. They were part of another kingdom. That they were supposed to make a difference, that they were supposed to make disciples, that they were supposed to preach about this kingdom. And you and I happen to be part of this kingdom. Why? Because we've come to Jesus. We are born again. How many of you are born again? If you're not born again, you will be born again today. Amen. I believe it. In faith, you will come to Jesus. If you haven't come to Jesus, if you haven't made that decision, you will encounter Jesus today. Being born again automatically makes you a kingdom citizen. When you're born again, you're given new citizenship. And that citizenship is the kingdom citizenship, which entitles you to some benefits. How many of you love being a citizen of Australia, right? But how many of you love even better to be a citizen of the kingdom? Because when you are a kingdom citizen, you have a lot of benefits. I mean, the Bible is full of promises and full of benefits, right? But you also have obligations. And in the Bible, they don't use that word obligations, and I don't want to use it today as you are obliged to do something. I want to replace the word as you have values to adhere. You have values to embrace. You have values that you observe, not just observe, but you love those values. And you look up to those values, and you practice those values, and you walk in those values. So if you want to be blessed, if you want to walk in prosperity and blessing, you walk in those values, the kingdom values of being a generous giver and, you know, being an open-hearted person and being someone who's always willing to go the extra mile. Not because you're a good fellow, but because you're a kingdom citizen. Not because you're a good person, but because you're a kingdom citizen. Remember when Jesus said nobody is good, only the Father is good? Remember that? Even if you try to be a good person, these kingdom principles and values will shape your life and shape your future. And one of them, I want to teach four today. So we're going to open our Bibles in the book of John chapter 17, verse 21. Now this prayer, I love this prayer because this prayer was prayed before Jesus departed, before Jesus went to be with his Father. It's a powerful prayer. He prayed for all the believers, but he specifically addressed the disciples. And we're going to read from verse 20, actually. The Bible says, I do not pray, John chapter 17, verse 20. You got it here on the screen. You can read it off the screen. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, amen, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, hallelujah, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, verse 25, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it that the love with you loved me may be in them and I in them. Amen. So, I know that's a full-on scripture, but one thing that I want to teach you this morning is intimacy with God. Being one with God. Knowing God. That is the number one core value in the kingdom. Knowing God. Even Jesus said, many in the end times, many when they go to the throne of God during the judgment, they will say, oh, Father, we lay hands on the sick, and we prayed, and we helped, and we were part of relief efforts, and we were part of mission groups, and we went to the nations, and we prayed, and we did so much for you. I mean, we stood hours and hours, and we were deacons and ushers, and we helped, and we were part of volunteering groups, and we did so much for you. And the Lord Jesus will say, I never knew you. I don't want to hear that from God. Do you want to hear that from God? Do you want to hear that from your Father? I never knew you. Now, that word, if you put it into context, the word knowing in Hebrew is intimacy. So basically what Jesus was saying is, I never spent time with you. We were never intimate. We were never friends. Even though you served me, even though you went to church, even though you attended a church, even though you ticked the boxes and you did everything that you thought you were doing, you know, you thought you were doing good and you thought you were just being a good church member, I never knew you. See, there is a difference between attending a church and ticking all the boxes and knowing God. Hello? Can I say it again? There is a difference. There is a big difference between attending a church, being a church member, being religious, going to church, sitting every Sunday morning, and knowing God. We need to know God. How many of you want to know God? We need to be intentional about knowing God. We need to be intentional about praying and seeking God and spending time with God. We got to be intentional. If we are not intentional, our relationship is going to be dysfunctional. If we're not intentional, our relationship is just going to be a religious relationship where we come, we sit, we get a good word, we get an injection, we're good for the week. How many of you here eat once a week? Raise your hand. If you do, wow, you're amazing. And if you can fast a whole week like that, once a week, I mean, that's incredible. Good on you. But I'm sure all of you, how many of you love to eat? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you love your three meals a day, right? You're like, no, Pastor, that's too little. I want six meals a day. You know, but you need to eat, right? You love eating. You love different cuisines, different flavors, different cultures. You love to experience. How many of you love to experience cuisines from different parts of the world? Amen? I mean, I love experiencing different cultures and different cuisines. I love to travel. I think God just gave me that traveling nature. That traveling bug in me hasn't gone away, you know? I'm still watching videos on YouTube of planes taking off, you know? It's like, for crying out loud, stop doing this, you know? It's like I'm tormenting myself by just watching videos on YouTube of planes taking off. I just miss that sound. I miss being inside the airplane, you know? I miss plane food. What do you mean plane? No, not P-L-A-I-N. I'm P-L-N-E, you know, plane, in the airplane. You know, I miss that kind of food. I love plane food because, you know, I've been flying for 20 years, so flying has been my world. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so used to that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that we need to take a relationship. We need to take our intimacy with God a few notches up. We can't just be nominal. We can't just be ordinary. We can't just, I mean, you just went through a very difficult time, and you can't just come back out of this COVID-19 and think, well, I'm just going to keep doing the same. You can't do that. Hello? You can't do that. You can't just, you know, you just went through a very difficult time, and you're not coming back to a normal church. You're coming back to a different church because we're now in a different church era. We're not in the same era. And by the way, if you haven't realized that we're living in the end times, it's time for you to wake up and smell the roses. Hello? We are in the end times. We are in the end times. It is inevitable. It's going to happen. We are seeing a lot of prophecies being fulfilled. But in these times is when we need to be connected with God. It's when we need to be intimate with God. It's when we need to get to know God. How many of you want to chase after God? How many of you want to become a God chaser? You know, if there's a book that I can recommend today, is Being a God Chaser by Tommy Tini. It's an amazing book. I have another book that I wrote, Friends of God. I love it because I believe that God wants every one of us to become a friend. He doesn't want to know you just to, and remember, God didn't make you his cousin. He didn't make you his nephew. He didn't make you his niece. God made you his son and his daughter. There's a big difference. Hello? There is a big, big difference. You're not God's nephew. You're not God's cousin. You're God's child. And when you are a child of the living God, you can come in and out of his presence. You can ask. You can remain in his presence. You can be in his presence. And you can be privileged to have encounters with God on a daily basis. Come on, church. You can feel the presence of God 24/7 if that's what you want. If that's what you long. But if you're going to come back into this church and say, well, I'm just going to go back and being the same. I'm not going to really make a lot of changes or adjustments. This is a time to make changes. Radical changes. Your number one priority in this time should be prayer, prayer, and prayer. Hello? If you don't think prayer is important, let me tell you something. Only those that have a solid relationship with God will be able to thrive in this critical times. Only those that are close and connected and those that are reading and those that are wanting more of God are going to be able to grow. They're going to be able to soar above the storm. They're going to be able to fly above the storm. See, God wants you to thrive in these critical times. He doesn't want you to be discouraged. He doesn't want you to be dealing with anxiety and panic and fear because all of that is of this world. God wants you to live in victory, in joy, and in peace. Come on. God wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to be an overcomer. And he wants you to come out of this COVID-19 with one priority in mind. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to go after God. No matter what it takes, I'm going after God. How many of you are going after God? And I'm not just going to be, you know, one of those who say, yeah, I'll do it, but I never do it. I'm going to be intentional. It's like, how many times do you pray? Some people say, well, I pray 3 times a day. Really? Yeah, when I bless my meal. That's awesome. But how about taking your prayer life to a more intimate level? How about instead of just praying 3 times a day, how about finding a time and an hour in your day, you know, how about just going into a room and just shutting the door and listening to some worship and just spending time with God? God really wants to get to know you. And you're probably thinking, well, God already knows everything about me. Yeah, but he wants to get to know you as his friend. How many of you want to become a friend of God? I mean, you're a child of God, but he wants to spend time with you. You know, if I don't spend time with my kids, I will never get to know them. They know that I'm their father, but I need to spend time with them, and I need to be intentional so that I get to know them and they get to know me. And my Kiriel, she's 7, and she's full of questions. She's always asking questions. You know, she's going through that stage where, Daddy, this, well, Daddy, why did you do that? And Daddy, how was your childhood? And explain this to me. And Daddy, how come you went through this? And blah, blah, blah. And sometimes the conversations can go on and on and on because she's asking almost like 100 questions. And before you know it, you know, you're caught up in all these conversations that are deep and meaningful. But the thing is, I've learned that when she's asking questions, she's trying to get to know me. And that's amazing. It's the same thing when we go into the presence of God and we spend time in his presence and we just sit there at his feet and we are teachable and we're like, God, I don't know how to pray, but one thing I want is your presence. One thing I want is an encounter. One thing I want is to sit here until you bless me. Come on. We got to be like Jacob. You know Jacob? Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord until the sunrise. In the Bible, when the Bible uses the word the angel of the Lord, it's using the same word for Jesus. Basically, Jacob wrestled with Yeshua until the morning time, before the sun, you know, got out. So before the sunrise, Jacob was wrestling with Jesus. And Jesus is like, leave me alone. I need to go. And Jacob's like, I'm not leaving you until you bless me. God wants that kind of church. A kind of church like Jacob. I'm not leaving this place until I get a word. Come on. I'm not leaving this place until I'm blessed. Come on. I'm not leaving this place until I receive something, until I'm touched, until I'm changed, until I get my healing, my breakthrough. How many of you are desperate for something? Right? We can't be nominal. We can't be ordinary. We got to be intimate with God. We honor his word and we yield fruit. And we remain in him and him in us. We can ask anything and it shall be given to us. John chapter 15 verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So one of the trademarks of being a disciple is knowing God, having intimacy with God. Getting to know God, having a prayer life, you know, and it's part of our kingdom culture. How many of you have been brought up and raised in Australia? Raise your hand. You know, part of the culture, and one thing I learned when I first came to Australia, my friend was getting me to try Vegemite, you know, and that was quite an experience. And that went, you know, kind of, it went well, but I was like, after eating a little bit of Vegemite, I needed to drink like 3 cups of water, you know? I'm not used to Vegemite. And my friend was telling me, well, you got to spread it thin on a piece of toast and you got to have a lot of butter. And you got to almost like cover it with a chunk of butter so you get rid of that bitter taste. And you just eat it like that. I'm like, well, you're used to it. I'm not. I can try. I can acclimatize and become an Aussie that way by eating Vegemite. But, you know, something that you got to learn. Hello? You're like, well, how does prayer work? I'm not really used to praying a long time, but it's part of your kingdom culture. Prayer is one of those values in the kingdom. You may not be used to it. You may not have a prayer life now. But the more you get to know God, and the stronger you build a relationship with God, prayer is going to become part of you. It's going to become so familiar. It's going to become like a dialogue that you sit there and you just have a dialogue with God. How many of you love having a dialogue with God? You know, just a dialogue, not a monologue, a dialogue where you talk to God and he talks back to you. Not like you're constantly just saying, God, I need this, I need that, I need that. 911, God, please come through. Like, rescue me, like, save me. Not a monologue, but a dialogue where you sit there and you actually, sometimes you will be still, you will be quiet, and you will be ready to listen. The only reason a lot of believers don't listen and they can't listen is because they're constantly saying stuff. And like, they think prayer has to be a monologue where they're like constantly talking and talking and talking. Like, I gotta say something. I can't stay quiet. Otherwise, it's awkward. It's like I'm trying to pray, but I'm not saying anything. Sometimes you gotta have that time of being quiet in the presence of God. Sometimes you gotta have that time of just worshiping. You know, worship is part of our kingdom culture. Did you know that? Did you know that raising our hands and worshiping God is part of our kingdom culture? You're like, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not used to that. That's weird. I'm not going to raise my hands. Well, it may be weird in your culture, but in the kingdom culture, it's part of who we are. Hello? We are spirit-filled, so we demonstrate it. You know? I don't think the angels out there in heaven are like, you know, sticking their hands in their pockets and singing hallelujah. Hello? The angels cast their crowns before the Lord 24/7 and say, holy, holy, holy is the one who was to come and is to come. Come on. Imagine that kind of worship. Imagine that kind of worship going on for 24/7. But the amazing thing is when you start worshiping, you're like, well, I don't know how to sing. I'm not a good singer. When you start worshiping, even if it's a glass cracking kind of worship, hello? Even if you don't know how to get in tune or whatever, find the right tune. When you start worshiping, God is going to silence all those angels. He's got an amazing symphony up there. And he's going to silence them so that he can hear you. Oh, you're not getting that. I said, God is going to silence all the angels in heaven. And they sing angelic, you know, they sing, I mean, the best notes. They're perfect singers up there. I mean, they're amazing. Like, they've been doing this for thousands of years. And you're like, well, I'm not going to be worship. I don't want to go to church and just stand there and just sing along for 2 hours. My question is, what are you going to be doing in heaven? Hello? You better practice here. Come on, tell your neighbor, you better practice here. Because there is going to be plenty of worship in heaven. So if you think singing along here is boring and you're not used to it, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit there and wait until the worship is over. You know, that's you are responding out of your culture. You're responding out of your culture. What is your culture? Your culture is a drive-through culture. Let's get it done culture. I just want to go to church and get something and get out of church. Hello? But I don't think that's even the Australian culture. Australian culture has been evolving and it's been embraced. The Australian culture has embraced other values from other cultures. And now it's become a drive-through culture where we want to get something quick. Hello, how many of you love Maccas? Right? Like, you just want something quick. And so culture evolves. But the most solid, the most stable, and the most amazing and perfect culture is the kingdom culture. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The culture that you can rely on, that will never change, the culture that has been solid for thousands of years is the kingdom culture. And you got a book, you got a manual that you can follow, and it's called the Bible. And when you read that Bible, you're going to find out that the culture of the kingdom of God is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Come on. God is the same. He healed the sick yesterday. He can heal you today, and he will heal you tomorrow. And by the way, healing is part of our culture. I believe that God can heal the sick. I believe in water baptism. It's part of our culture. I believe in the Holy Ghost baptism. It's part of our culture. Why do you speak that weird language? It's called the language of heaven. The devil doesn't understand. When I pray it, he doesn't understand. Thank God he doesn't understand. Hello? I love praying in the heavenly language so that the devil is, you know, curious. Like he's you know, puzzled. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to crack the code. But he can't. Because that code is, it comes from heaven. Come on, somebody. I love praying in the Spirit. I love praying at all times. I love walking, having communion with God. All of these are kingdom principles. Why do you guys raise your hands? Because we walk in victory. We don't have to keep our hands warm. No, we are desperate for God, and we want more of God. And I'm going to raise my hands, and I'm going to let the whole world know. Oh, so it's kind of a show. No, it's not a show. It's me surrendering my heart. Hello? It's me coming to a point of brokenness where it's no longer about me. It's no longer about my desires. It's no longer about what I want, but it's about Him. Come on, church. We got to come to that point where it's about Him. We're like Jacob. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Come on, church. I'm not letting go of this worship song until I get something. I'm not letting go of this word until I hear God speaking to me. Right? So intimacy with God. How many of you know that a marriage without communication is going to be a dysfunctional marriage? Hello? The same thing in the kingdom of God. You got to communicate with God. If you spend your whole week without saying zip, nothing, like just coming to church for your weekly injection, like I'm just going to go to church and get my weekly message and then expect that that's going to last the whole week. Let me tell you something, you're going to have a rough week. Why? Because the enemy is going to try one thing after another to bring you down. But if you are constantly refilling your spirit with the word of God, come on, come on. If you're constantly refilling yourself, how many of you like to drive on empty here? I don't think so. What happens if you drive on empty? Come on. You're going to get stuck. There's going to be a point where your fuel is going to run out and you're going to get stuck. Hello? It's like many Christians like to see that empty light on. And it's like they drive with that light on. And they don't realize they need to go and refill. Every time you see that light on, your car is telling you, I need petrol. Like, I need gas, 111. Come on, give me something. I need petrol, like, now. And your car is going to give you, like, 50 Ks, right? Maybe 30 Ks. And if you don't put petrol, what's going to happen? Come on, tell me. What's going to happen? You get stuck. The same thing, if you don't pray during the week. If you don't seek the Lord, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't keep that intimacy with God, if you just expect to live a life where you're going from one service to another, what's going to happen to you? Your spirit is going to become malnourished. And then when the enemy comes, you're not going to be strong enough to face the enemy. Hello? You're not going to have the right immunity. You know? There's a virus, and it's called the virus of sin. And we need to knock out that virus every day. Come on, church. Come on, church. There's a virus, and it's a virus of negativity and anxiety and fear. How many of you are constantly battling with fear? Come on, raise your hand. You know, we're battling fear 24/7, especially because of what's going on with this coronavirus. You know, we're being divided, so ultimately they're going to unite us. But right now we're being divided. Why? Because the world agenda is to divide us now, create confusion, create chaos. This is all very intentional. I mean, this is master plan. I've seen some articles of what's happening now that, you know, were written in 2017, you know. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is all intentional. Like, the way that it's being planned and it's happening, we're being divided so that ultimately, they're going to reunite us. And they're going to say, well, we're the citizens of the world. And so we're going to come under this one world government. Hello? Jesus is coming back soon. Hello? I said, Jesus is coming back soon. Come on. Come on. If this is making you squirm, it doesn't matter. Hello? This is the kingdom. You got to embrace the kingdom. The kingdom of God has values. Say with me, values. We give offerings because it's part of our culture. We tithe because it's part of our culture. You can debate with me about tithing until the cows come home, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to refer you back to the Bible. It's part of our culture. We give because it's part of our culture. We worship because it's part of our culture. Come on. We stand and we raise our hands because it's part of our culture. Come on. We love on people because it's part of our culture. Come on. We witness because it's part of our culture. Oh, do we have to witness politely? I've heard people saying that. Do we have to witness politely? I'm telling you, witness with authority, with power, with boldness, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is polite, but He's also bold. Hello? Come on, somebody. You got to come out of your comfort zone. You got to come out of that place where you're, you know, you don't know what to do. So number one, intimacy with God. Number two, holiness must be a lifestyle and not an option. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's something that we practice, that we love, that we value, that we embrace every day, that we choose to walk in holiness. We love, we embrace that lifestyle. That's for us. Amen. Number three, a generation that will behold His glory. God is awakening the church. God is awakening the bride for this new revival, for this great revival that is coming. But He wants you ready. He wants you to have plenty of oil, because there's going to be a time where it's going to be critical for you to have plenty of oil. Hello? There comes a time where you need to have plenty of oil to fight all these battles. Amen? A generation that will walk in perfect love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. See, the love of Jesus, God's going to cast out all that fear. You got to shake off the fear. And you're like, well, I don't feel loved. I don't feel appreciated. But when you come into the presence of God, you're going to have that sense of belonging. You're going to be restored. You're going to be strengthened by the presence of God. Amen? So culture, let's talk about culture here. And I was talking about, you know, Vegemite, but I can talk about different cultures. How many of you like love, you like trying different kinds of food? How many of you love Mediterranean food? Have you ever tried Mediterranean? You know, like Greek, like, Jewish kind of food, like that kind of food. It's different. And it has different spices. And when you compare Mediterranean with Indian food, it's completely different. It's like two different worlds. How many of you like your curry? Come on, raise your hand. Double hand if you like your curry. Come on, double hand. Come on, say hallelujah if you like your curry. Pastor Matt likes his curry. It was the first one and said hallelujah. I don't like curry. I do not tolerate curry. I tolerate some spices, but if it's too spicy, I'll politely say, I'm sorry, I can't eat this. Like, we went to Nigeria, and we were at a pastor's conference, and they made this beautiful meal, like different dishes, and all the pastors were just having so much fun dishing out the food and, you know, enjoying this. You know, they were like almost like licking their fingers. It was that yummy. It was that delicious. And we went around. We went for a first round. We served our plates, and then we started eating, and I literally felt like I was on fire. Like somebody ignited something in my stomach, and I felt like I was going to explode, like my mouth was disintegrating. It was that kind of heat. And I had to go to the restroom, and I had to wash and rinse my mouth, and I couldn't get rid of that feeling. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? And so I went, and the pastor saw what I was going through. I was like tearing. I was like almost crying, you know. And the pastor gave me a glass of milk, and I drank that glass of milk, and thank God for that glass of milk. You know, it came as my rescue in that moment. And we ended up going to KFC. Can you imagine that? We're such wusses when it comes to spicy food. The pastors, so we tried different dishes, and we could not eat anything because everything was so spicy. It was like fire, you know. And so we ended up, the pastors arranged for a couple to take us to KFC. That was like the novelty in Lagos, Nigeria. Like, go to KFC. You guys go to KFC. We'll see you later. So we had to basically settle for KFC chicken. So that was our meal. And the chicken was a little bit spicy, but it was okay, right? So we had fun. We had fun. So let me tell you something. This world has so many cultures and so many flavors, but the kingdom of God has a unique culture, a unique DNA, a unique identity, and you and I are part of this culture. The moment we came into the kingdom, we chose to embrace this culture, and we chose to live by this principle. How many of you love the kingdom culture? So this kingdom culture is not like, well, I'm just gonna I'm going to vote on it. I think I can probably do it, but I'm not sure if I can really get to that point where you're like praying 24/7. There is no choice. We're living in the end times. You better pray up. Hello? You better pray up a storm. Because the enemy is looking for believers that are not praying, that are not standing strong, that are not walking in faith to weaken them. The enemy is looking for believers that are not really doing what they're meant to be doing right now. To divide them, to freak them out, to keep them home, and to keep them divided. But greater is the one who is in us. Come on, church. Come on, church. Greater is the one who is in us. Come on, church. Greater is the one who is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit. See, miracles is part of our culture. Healing is part of our culture. Deliverance is part of our culture. Inner healing is part of our culture. Breaking generational curses is part of our culture. Worship is part of our culture. Praise is part of our culture. All of these amazing things that you see, dancing with flags and worshiping God with arts is part of our culture. If you're like, well, show me that in the Bible, I can tell you something in heaven. There's going to be a lot of angels flying flags, waving flags. A lot of people that have been to heaven, they have actually written about this amazing angelic encounters they had with angels worshiping. They have like the best instruments up there. So if you don't like music, get used to it. Hello? I don't like noise. Get used to it. There's going to be plenty of noise up there. Or do you think the throne of God is going to sound like what would be the word? Just like a nice quiet symphony, and like everybody's just going to be there, like, you know, like going into an Anglican church where everybody's singing hymns. Do you think it's going to be like that? Hello? And I love my Anglican brothers. Don't get me wrong. I love them. And I love the hymns. But do you think it's going to be like that? No, I don't think so. There's going to be flavor. There's going to be dance. There's going to be noise. There's going to be praise. There's going to be jubilee. You know where that word comes from? Praise. Jubilee. The Holy Spirit has given us power. And that power makes us bold. And that power makes us strong. We got to be strong in the end times. Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone in this building. I pray that you will just touch and empower everyone. That your anointing falls upon everyone. Lord, I just pray that your spirit, your presence will fall upon everyone now. You know, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross. He shed his blood so that you can have eternal life. The ultimate sacrifice was carried by Jesus. Jesus did it so that you can have eternal life. And Jesus loves you. He loves you. And he wants to spend time with you. So why don't you just bow your head and close your eyes and just say this prayer with me. Make this decision. Be intentional today and say, Lord Jesus, I want to commit my life. I want to commit my life to follow you, to obey you, and to live by these principles. If you don't know Jesus today, close your eyes and just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive all my sins. I surrender to you. I give you my life. I thank you for dying for me on the cross. I love you. And I surrender my heart. And I give you everything, Lord. You are awesome. You're a wonderful God. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing is just coming on you right now. Just begin to pray in the Spirit if you can. Those who can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Those who are not able to, just close your eyes and enjoy this moment, because the presence of God is coming on you. The presence of God is coming on you. The presence of God is touching you. Wherever you are, the presence of God is coming on you right now. And if you made the choice to follow Jesus today, please slip up your hand. If you made that choice to follow Jesus today, if you made that choice to recommit your life with Jesus, God bless you. If you made that choice to recommit your life to Jesus, slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Oh, God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a Savior we have. Come on, come on. Just begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Shenda rabakata rabo norm. Shete rebe ketoro bo 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 shende rebe. I see like this, like a fire mantle. I see, brother, can you stand up? Come over here. Just raise your hands. I see like this fire just swirling. And I just see the Lord baptizing you with new fire. And I see like the fire is burning, and the fire is not consuming, but the fire is burning in your heart and is burning in your soul. And I see the Lord is rekindling something. The Lord is reawakening some dreams. The Lord is awakening some things in your heart that have been there, that the Lord set aside for a time and a season. And I see the Lord reactivating some things in you. I see that the fire, the passion is coming back to you. And I see the fire falling on you. Touch Him, Holy Spirit, now. There it is. 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 Receive it now. Receive it now. And greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Touch Him, Holy Spirit. Whoa! I see the fire. I see the fire. I see the fire. The fire is covering you. The fire is covering you. Touch Him, Holy Spirit. Fire. Oh, Holy Ghost fire. And greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. I see the picture of a brook, but I see you standing in a very dry place. What's your name? Rachel. And I see the Lord opening this brook. It's like the Lord is, it's like the water is coming out of the rocks. And you've been standing in this place, almost like a wilderness. But God is giving you this fresh water. I see this picture of a brook. And God says, go ahead, Rachel. Drink it. And don't be thirsty. Because you've been feeling very thirsty. You've been feeling very thirsty in the spirit. You've been longing fellowship. You've been longing prayer. You've been longing connection. You've been longing to have a touch. Another touch.